So I've been asked to talk about, in the series on the Holy Spirit, I've been asked to talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit in terms of guidance, leading, conviction, what the Holy Spirit does in those areas. So I'm kind of going to slant it a little bit. And I've got a handout, which you can take a copy home if you want, but I don't really want to teach from this, or I might read a bit out. This was written a long time ago, over 10 years ago, I think. So I just want to talk about, I suppose my passion for a while has been the whole thing of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And when I lived in West Africa, Liberia, there was this story. It was like a folk story about the African view of original sin. So what it was there was a woman, of course. Because it was all the woman's fault, wasn't it? So there was a woman who was bashing out some kola nuts in a big... Which one's the pestle and which one's the mortar? The mortar's the big... And the pestle is the big... Well, in West Africa, they're big. They're big old. They're like these great big poles and these big containers. So she's bashing this thing out, you see. And at that time, you know, centuries and centuries ago, God lived near the people. God was near the people. But you see, she's bashing this thing out and the pepper in the pot. And she hits... And the pestle goes too high and it hits God. This is a real West African folk story of original sin. So she hits God with the pestle. And God gets angry and he goes away. And that's the original idea, one of the original stories about how sin came into the world. So he withdrew himself. And so in the animistic worldview in West Africa, what the people did then was replace that presence of God with the presence of evil spirits. So they would believe in spirits in the trees, in the stones, in the water. And they were the things, they were the powers that were near. You remember Trevor talking about the African worldview being fear and power. So they were afraid of evil spirits because they were the ones that were right there that they could see in the stones and the water and the rivers and the sea and the trees. And they were afraid of them. And they needed to placate them. So when people in Africa, West Africa became Christians, then they realized that actually Jesus had brought God near to them. Emmanuel, God with us. And that was a hugely important thing because then the fear, you know, they were able to deal with the fear. And they realized that Jesus was stronger than the evil spirits and God came close to them again. And so that's just one sort of, you know, view of how sin happened and how God came back. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings the presence of God to us, we know. And many of you, you know, you've walked with the Lord for years. You know, you've known the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget my New Testament lecturer, Bob Dunnett, at Bible College, Reverend Bob Dunnett, when he started talking about having an encounter with the Holy Spirit at a personal level. Because sometimes we think the Holy Spirit, we think, you know, if you've read The Shack, it's a wafty being that wafts around. You know, in a kind of maybe a dress, I don't know, sort of a bit sort of ethereal. Whew, this is Holy Spirit. Or if you've seen the film The Shack, it looks a bit, you know, he or she or whoever looks a bit, you know, whew, that's the Holy Spirit. Or in the biblical images, you've got the dove and you've got the fire. But where's the personality? You know, a fire, tongues of fire is just, it's power stuff, isn't it? It's, You know, you see the Holy Spirit working. You don't see the wind, but you see the leaves moving. So you don't, how do you see the Holy Spirit? You see things happening. You see signs and wonders. You see events. You see people becoming Christians. But where's the personality of the Holy Spirit? And Bob Dunnett was talking about how he had this just encounter with the person of the Holy Spirit. Because we know in our heads and in our theology that the Holy Spirit is a person. But we can have an easy concept, if you like. Okay, God the Father, so we have an image of a father or a parent, and that love of the Father towards us. We have an image of Jesus because we've got the Gospels. So we look at Jesus and we see how he lived his life, and we can connect with that. And Jesus shows us what God's like, you know, his love and his gentleness and his, you know, and his righteous anger against in the temple, and his sacrifice and his mercy and, you know, and his integrity. But what do we know of the Holy Spirit? Because it's like, and I even know some Christians who talk about the Holy Spirit as it, which of course is heresy, actually. Because the Holy Spirit is a person. And in my teaching here, which I'm not going to teach from because I don't really want to focus on it, but there's a whole thing about God has personality, has mind, will, and emotions. Holy Spirit has a mind, Holy Spirit has a will, Holy Spirit has emotions, and there are scriptures to back that up. And so I think what I want to bring us today is just the reminder that the Holy Spirit is a person, that he loves us, that he wants to be near us. I think the few scriptures I am going to read out, John 14 and a little bit in 15, John 14, 26. John 14, verse 16. The Spirit, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and will be in you. An advocate there is, the Greek word is paraclete, and the translation of paracletes five times in the New Testament, four referring to the Holy Spirit in John 14 and John 15, one referring paraclete referring to Jesus, the advocate, in 1 John 2, where it talks about if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That's the paraclete, that's Jesus. But in John 14 and 15, the paraclete is the comforter, the helper, the counselor, the advocate, and that's the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, he's going to be in you. He's not only going to be with you, he's going to be in you. He's going to be in you. He's going to, you know, he's going to dwell in you. And you know that when you gave your life to Jesus, how many years ago it was, that something happened, whether it was, a thing you can remember, or whether it was you were a child and it just, you know, one day you realized it was true. You know something happened, that the Holy Spirit, when you asked Jesus into your life, that miracle of conversion, that miracle of indwelling happened, that miracle of regeneration happened. You were born again. You actually asked Jesus to become Lord, and you asked him to become your Savior, and something happened. The Holy Spirit came to your spirit and made your spirit alive. Titus 3 verse 5 is talking about being washed with the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And that happened. And I tell you, with all the things that are going on around today with, you know, whether we have doubts about certain theology or whatever, there's one thing I know that nobody can take away from me. And this thing is that on October the 15th, 1970, in Northern Ireland, in Coleraine, actually in Port Stewart, I asked Jesus into my life, and the Holy Spirit came into my heart and made me alive, and I knew something happened. And I remember going home on the bus from Port Stewart to Port Rush along the North Antrim coast to my university lodgings. And I remember saying on the bus, if this is real, it will last. And that was 1970. Well, here I am. I haven't given up yet, Steve. Jesus is as real to me as he was in 1970. And you know why? Because the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you see, Jesus isn't alive. I mean, yes, he is alive, sorry. Jesus is not physically present in the world today, is he? In his body. I mean, we're his body. He's not physically present in the body that he lived in for 33 years. He's not here. So how do we know about him? We know about him through the Word of God, the Bible. We know about him through the testimony of the church and the saints who've gone before us. And we know about him from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you cannot get away from somebody's testimony, which is why in Revelation 12 it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. My testimony still is true. Even if I've made mistakes, even if I have had doubts, even if I had difficulties and sicknesses and sorrows and disappointments and da-da-da-da-da, the Holy Spirit still lives within me, and he's my guide and my teacher, my comforter, my counselor. And I'm just going to read out. I'm preaching this morning. Right. Okay. The work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And I'm not going to give you the scriptures because you can look it for yourself. In the new birth, he dwells in us. He seals us. We belong to God. He adopts us. We are his children. We cry, Abba, Father. He brings the truth about Jesus' life and work to us. He testifies about Jesus. He glorifies Jesus. He guides us into all truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He teaches us. He reminds us of what Jesus says. He comforts us. He intercedes for us and through us. He helps us in our weakness. He convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He sanctifies us. He fills us, anoints us, baptizes us. He empowers us and sends us out as witnesses. He produces fruit in us as we obey him. He gives us a harvest. He gives us gifts. He brings freedom. And there are many, many more. All of what which the Holy Spirit does in us, in our lives as believers. We know that you might have heard that, you know, God is transcendent, but he's also immanent. So the idea of transcendence is he's high above everything. He's beyond everything we know. He's bigger than anything. You know, the Most High God, he who dwells in the shadow of the Most High God. So people talk about the Most High God. He's bigger and out there and you know, he does amazing things. And we want to see his power, you know. But also he's immanent, which means he's in everything. By that I don't mean pantheism. I don't mean that the trees are God, right? Or whatever. That's pantheism. The trees are God, yeah. But he shows his glory through his created world. The heavens declare the glory of God, says Psalm 19. Acts 17, where Paul goes to Athens and he sees a shrine and he says, oh, I can see your, it was to the unknown God. And he says, well, I can see that you're, you know, you're worshippers, you believe in God. And then he talks about in him we live and move and have our being. And there's this sense of the closeness of the Holy Spirit, absolute closeness to us, that actually he's putting his evidence everywhere. It's kind of, you'd have to be blind not to see it, really. But in our lives, there's a work that the Holy Spirit has done to open our eyes, to see things that maybe other people don't see. We see because the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes to see something amazing about God. Because the evidence is there. But for us as believers, he's closer than our very breath, than our very, you know, closeness, closer than a brother, closer than a husband or wife, closer than a child, closer than a father, closer than a mother. Sometimes when I've been in situations and I've been asking the Lord to, you know, what should I do? I it's like I felt a hand on my shoulder. I don't feel it physically, but maybe it's just I'm making it up. It's a little picture word that helps me. And there's this hand on my shoulder and it's going, Sue, don't say what's in your mind that you think you want to say. It's not a good idea to say what you're about to say. You need to hold back. Just be quiet. Because sometimes I'm forming something that I'm going to say, and I really want to say it to somebody. And I'm thinking, the word is telling me that's not kind. It's not the fruit of the Spirit in the thing that I'm about to say. And the Holy Spirit, bless him, is going, Sue. And then there are times when I can be going, I can feel the Lord on my shoulder and he's going, Sue, say it. Stand up and say it. Go on. Get up, go on. You've got a flutter in your stomach. Go on, go for it. Say it, don't hold back. And you know, and I think that's the Holy Spirit in my life actually guiding me, speaking to me, telling me what to say, telling me what to do. Not like a robot. I'm not a robot. I'm a free human being. And you know, I can choose not to do things that God wants me to do. Very scary, hey? Very scary. We are commanded not to blaspheme against the Spirit. We are commanded not to lie to the Holy Spirit. We are commanded not to resist the Holy Spirit. We are commanded not to quench the Holy Spirit. There's some scriptures there that you can look up. You know, and it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, isn't it? And if I sort of go, oh, Holy Spirit, I think you want me to do that, and I'm too scared, and I can't do it. And, God's going to give me strength. But is it better to do it than not to do it? I think it's probably better to do it and just see what happens and take a risk. Because I don't want to resist the Holy Spirit and I don't want to fight with the Holy Spirit. I want to have my heart submitted to the Holy Spirit. And I know I'm not always submitted to the Holy Spirit. I know I'm not. But it's still that I want to submit to the Holy Spirit, because I know that the character of God is so loving, so wonderful. He's not a slave driver. He's not a taskmaster. He's a wonderful friend. And the Holy Spirit is a friend, because the Holy Spirit brings me everything about Jesus. It says in John 16, I think it's, the Holy Spirit will take what is mine, says Jesus, and show it to you. He will take what is mine and show it to you. And sometimes the Holy Spirit, we think he's kind of like not the one in the background, because really the Holy Spirit shows us Jesus and shows us the Father's love. But sometimes it's just good to actually take a moment and say, well, actually, no, look, you know, actually, I really love you, Holy Spirit. I really worship you. Because you're so sensitive, you're so wise, you're so discerning. You are going to show me the right way. You are going to show me what to do with my life. You are going to show me whether to take that job or not to take that job. I can have confidence. It's like, you know, the rock of my salvation. I can have confidence in Jesus to show me the right way through his Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that takes the truth about the Father and the truth about Jesus and brings it alive to us in our minds and in our hearts and in our spirits, and helps us then to make the decisions we need to make. It's wonderful. Sometimes we might get it wrong. And I mean, how is it? I throw out a question to you. How is it then that people who can be filled with the Holy Spirit actually come to different conclusions? Oh, don't know. It's a mystery. I mean, you know, there is diversity in the body of Christ, right? We don't all agree on everything. And so all of us in this room, right, we've got different opinions about Brexit, do we not? Yes. But do we have the Holy Spirit? Yes. And are some people more filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I don't know. It's not up to me to judge. I'm sure other people are more filled than I am. You know what I mean? It's like we're not comparing each other. What I'm saying is there is diversity of opinions and experiences. It doesn't mean just because we're all filled with the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean necessarily that we all end up thinking exactly the same thing, simply because we're not robots. We're children. And just as you know, each one of your children, they're all different. We're all different. So that's a mystery. I throw it out there. If you've got the answer, come and preach about it on another occasion. And the other thing Holy Spirit does, he brings us the voice of God. God speaks to us as believers through the Holy Spirit. There's a scripture in Isaiah 30 where it says, in returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and confidence is your trust. And then it goes on to say, then you will hear a voice behind you saying to you, whether you turn to the right or the left, saying to you, this is the way, walk ye in it. So we can be confident that God is behind us sometimes, as well as in front of us, but he's behind us, prompting us and telling us which way to go. We can have confidence because of who he is, because the Holy Spirit brings the fullness of God, because he is God. That's how come, you know, I just to see the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a new believer, it's just amazing. It's something that I cannot produce. You cannot produce it. You see what happens in the life of a new believer, and it's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's something that we cannot manufacture. It's like nobody needs to tell them. Sometimes you go, well, so you've become a Christian, so why have you stopped doing this and that? Did anybody tell you to stop doing this and that? And they go, nah, I just didn't think it was right anymore. Oh, right, okay. So actually, that was the Holy Spirit within you then, was it? Oh, yes, it was. The Holy Spirit within me was saying to me, you don't need to do that anymore. And it wasn't the rules and regulations from outside or from, you know, that you can't enter church unless you've signed a piece of paper saying, I will not do this and that and the other. It was entirely the work of the Holy Spirit within me saying, you don't need to do that anymore. And that is the power of what happens to you when you become a Christian. And I know we all know it, but I just wanted to remind us of it. And sometimes I've had very clear words of the Lord, and sometimes I haven't. There's been sometimes when I've really struggled like crazy. I haven't known what to do. I haven't been sure of the voice of the Lord. And then there've been some times when I've heard the voice of the Lord as clear as a bell. And on those occasions, it's been with real life, you know, real big life decisions. Like when my mum died and I knew the Lord was going to take her, and I didn't like it. And the Lord, I remember the Holy Spirit, clear as a bell, this sentence came to me. I'm going to relieve your mother from the pain, and I'm going to relieve you from the responsibility. And I said to God, I don't like that, God. I don't like that. I was not happy. I don't like that word, Lord. And the Holy Spirit says, yes, I know you don't like it, but I'm going to do it. That's what I'm going to do. And 5 hours later, she passed away. My dear mother. And I believe she's with the Lord now. Another time was when I nearly went and married somebody. But he weren't the right one. Oh, he was not. And I can remember we were hitching a ride in Devon, as you do when your boyfriend hasn't got a license because he had it cancelled for various reasons. And you're walking along the road. And I'm thinking, oh dear, this is not right. And the Holy Spirit says to me, Sue, you can marry this man if you want to, and I'll keep him faithful to you, because that was a question mark. Sue, you can marry this man if you want to, and I'll keep him faithful to you. But I have something better for you. And I went, oh, okay. So I chucked him. Bless him, wherever he is today. And it wasn't very long after that I went off with YWAM. Anyway, there we go. So there are a few clear times. I do really believe when you desperately really need a word of the Lord, that he will bring it and he will give it. He will, especially in those times of life. I've waffled on a bit. Anyway, and he convicts us of sin when we need it, but always in a loving, non-condemning way. You know, conviction is wonderful. Condemnation's horrible. But we know the difference, don't we? Condemnation, you feel bleh. Condemnation is about identity. It's about shame. But conviction is sweet. Conviction of the Holy Spirit goes, Sue, I don't think that's a good idea, do you? Let me give you something else instead. That's much better. Well, maybe it's not always like that. But I would like to finish with a quick exercise. So, but that involves you standing. But no exercises, is that okay? But can you stand in a place where you can take a step forward? So maybe move away from the tables. So what we're going to do, so imagine yourself coming into the throne room, coming into the presence of God. So here, the Lord is here, Holy Spirit's here, the love of the Father's here, the love of Jesus is here, and we are in God's presence. And he's inviting us right up to the throne. So let's take a step forward. Let's enter into the throne room. And here we stand in the presence of God. And in the stillness, what is it you want God to say to you? What is it you want from the Lord this morning? Just have a moment of reflection and ask God, what do I want from you today, Lord? Let this just be a silent, it doesn't need to be shared, just a silent time. And what is it that God is saying to you? What does God want to say to you this morning? Dear Lord, you know our hearts. You know how we long for you. We know how you know how we long to know you better and to hear your voice more. And Father, I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would encourage us today, fill us with hope as we step into this next week. That, Lord, what you have been saying to us this morning, that you would enable us to take it with us into the week.